ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A lot of people have been throwing the B word around lately.
The entire AI industry is a bubble primed to burst.
In July 2025, tech companies' share of the S&P 500 reached its highest level since the dot-com bubble 25 years ago, and that really didn't go very well.
The NASDAQ index falling more than 200 points.
So what happened last time, and what can it tell us about what's going on with AI today? I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we give you the backstories behind the big stories.
In a deal straight out of Hollywood, streaming giant Netflix is battling Paramount for control of the historic Warner Brothers studio, which includes HBO, and a treasure trove of film and TV content. Today, Chris Bumbray, editor-in-chief of entertainment news website JoeBlow.com, on what it means for how we watch shows and movies, and whether this moment marks the end of cinema as we know it. I'm Sydney Peed. On Gadigal Land, Sydney, this is ABC News Daily. Chris, like everything, the way we watch movies and TV shows has changed so much, but it's over the last 10 years or so that streaming has truly upended the film industry. How has it disrupted the old system?
Oh, in a massive way. I mean, one of the things is that people just got used to the convenience of having, you know, so much content at their fingertips, right? And being able to choose when they wanted to watch and what they wanted to watch. Add to that the fact that Netflix started making their own movies, which were movies that were made on a theatrical level that are as big budget and as slick as anything Hollywood's ever put out. There's that. But then I think also one of the huge things that's changed the industry is how during the pandemic, theaters were shut down for a long, long time. And what happened was the windows between when a movie would get released in theaters and when it would hit streaming got really, really shortened. It used to be something like 3 months. It was shortened to like where 45 days is the absolute maximum. And in a lot of cases, things were coming out within 14 days. And to this day, still, most movies when they play theaters are out on VOD or on streaming after 21 days. So people, rather than go through the expense of going to a movie in theaters, they're just waiting to see them show up on Netflix or on another streaming service in 3 weeks.
Now, the leading streaming service, Netflix, it has announced it will acquire Warner Brothers, a legacy Hollywood studio, in a $72 billion US dollar deal. Just tell me about this merger.
If they do manage to acquire Warner Brothers, they would control the entire Warner Brothers library, all of HBO, HBO's programming, and they get HBO Max, and they get all the subscribers from HBO Max. That'll mean that literally half of the entire streaming ecosystem will be controlled by Netflix, which is absolutely, you know, boggles the mind. It's hard to believe. And then all these legacy characters and IP such as Superman, Batman, the entire DC universe, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, just a massive, massive collection. And Warner Brothers is one of the biggest film libraries. Just the fact that they own so many movies going back, you know, the last 70 or 80 years.
Right, but the Netflix deal doesn't include the whole empire, which is called Warner Brothers Discovery.
So I think what has been kind of promised is that Discovery is going to spin off into its own, and that's going to include linear TV stations, but then most importantly, CNN.
It's quite shocking, isn't it? Because Warner Brothers is one of these old legacy studios, right? It's quite an important part of Hollywood history.
A massive part of Hollywood history. And not only that, but if you look at the movies that were successful this year, many of them came from Warner Brothers. You know, the biggest films, Sinners, One Battle After Another, Weapons, and then the year before, Barbie, The Batman. All of these films, they're so important that the entire film theatrical industry kind of relies upon them. So if they didn't have access to Warner Brothers movies, I don't know that exhibition would survive. And you know, Ted Sarandos, who runs Netflix, has said that he would allow some kind of theatrical release for these movies, but the windows would be more consumer friendly. So that basically means if we go by what Netflix is currently doing, you'd get 2 weeks of exclusivity in theaters. And I just think that most people aren't going to bother to go see a movie in theaters that they could see streaming, you know, 2 weeks later. A Minecraft movie, that was another huge one this year. But then another important thing that I don't see a lot of people talking about are the AI implications. I think one of the main reasons that Netflix wanted WB is because they wanted their IP, and I think that they want those characters and those legacy characters to be something that they could play with in their AI sandbox. Netflix has been kind of toying with unrolling a bunch of different AI features, and it could be in 10 years they have some kind of, you know, AI program where you could use these legacy characters and manipulate them in the way that you wanted. They'll own Batman, they'll own the Harry Potter universe, they'll own Superman, all the DC characters, Game of Thrones. It's just an unbelievable amount of content for one studio to own.
Well, Chris, this week we had Paramount, another movie and television giant, enter the fray with a $108 billion US dollar hostile bid. They bypassed the board and took it directly to Warner Brothers shareholders. What is that about?
So David Ellison is the guy who owns Paramount. He just bought Paramount. He took over Paramount a couple of months ago. And he is considered kind of an ally of Donald Trump's, right? Although whether or not they're actually allies is kind of up in the air now. Trump has said some not great things about him recently. So a lot of people feel now that Paramount has become kind of a right-wing studio to some extent, especially with them controlling CBS and CBS News. And the thing is, he wanted to buy Netflix, or he wanted to put in a bid for Netflix, but it seems that, you know, David Zaslav, who's in charge of Warner Brothers, was kind of giving preferential treatment to Ted Sarandos and to Netflix, where Paramount was actually offering more money, but the studio that offered them less money, Netflix, are the ones that won in the end. So he is trying a hostile takeover bid by going right to the Netflix shareholders. But what's crucial, and the difference there, is that if they were to take it over, they do want Discovery. So they would own CNN. Theoretically, that would get them control of CBS News and CNN, which is a massive amount of news content for one entity to own, for one multi-billionaire to own. And it's kind of a scary thing if you think about it, that the news media could be this controlled by one person.
So we have these giant media companies both vying for control of Warner Brothers. It's really shaken people in the industry. There was swift outrage when the Netflix merger was announced from movie theaters, from movie producers. The director of Avatar and Titanic, James Cameron, called it a disaster. Just explain to me, why is this merger so controversial?
Because for a lot of people, and myself included, it feels like the death knell to the film industry as we know it. It feels like movie theaters, which are already on shaky ground, aren't going to exist in a couple of years because people are going to see them less and less. And frankly, they're going to have a lot less product if Warner's is bought out by Netflix. It is one of the few remaining film studios. There's only about five of them now that are producing movies. You know, 20th Century Fox was bought out by Disney a couple of years ago, and that studio has more or less been shuttered, and they're releasing a lot less content. Now is the time that movie theaters need content, and the most innovative content really has been coming from Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. The movies that have made an impact over the last couple of years are movies that came out from Warner Brothers, and it's just a disaster to have even fewer movies now hitting movie theater screens and less interesting content. Nobody's taking the big risks that they were taking. Instead, they'll just go to Netflix, and not only that, but, you know, Netflix, if they have control of this IP, what's going to stop them from just kind of ruthlessly exploiting it, right? Just churning out more and more Batman content, more and more Superman, Barbie content, not even having the original filmmakers involved. I mean, look at what happened when Disney bought Marvel and bought Star Wars. How much of their product was just kind of bombarding their own streaming service, Disney Plus. Feels like people are totally uninterested in Star Wars, and people are starting to really lose interest in Marvel. And I think that that has, in a lot of ways, hurt the industry as well, because those used to be huge money makers and people aren't going to see movies as much anymore. Mm. I think also a big part of it is the changing habits of the filmgoers. I think a lot of people now are choosing to stay at home because, frankly, it costs a lot less. And you don't have to worry about hiring a babysitter. You don't have to worry about paying for gas money, concessions, the admission. I mean, a night out at the theater, if you go with your family, it's well over $100. So a lot of people are just staying home.
I mean, it's of course a worry to a lot of us who love going to the cinema. And I guess the way we could be watching movies could really change if this merger goes through. Last year, Netflix's CEO, Ted Sarandos, told the New York Times that the hits Barbie and Oppenheimer would have enjoyed just as big an audience on Netflix. And he doesn't think a movie is better on any size screen. He said his son watched Lawrence of Arabia on his phone. So what do you make of his assessment of big screen films?
It's hard to say, you know. I like to think that movies in a theater are more of an event and that you can have something have a much bigger impact if it plays theatrically than otherwise. That said, on Sarandos' side, to give him the benefit of the doubt, just look at what happened this summer with K-pop Demon Hunters, where that just completely kind of seemingly took over the pop culture, right? And I don't think that that's something that would have been successful in theaters. I think that it was only ever going to be a hit on streaming. So it is possible that there could be something massive that would hit streaming that would kind of take over the conversation, just like Oppenheimer and Barbie did. But it would be a sad thing to see. And yeah, I saw what he said about Lawrence of Arabia on a phone. And I don't know. That is the way a lot of people are consuming media these days, though. I mean, younger people are watching things on their phones. It's not like it used to be. And I think that habits change and audiences get older, and that's how it is.
Okay, Chris. Well, this deal is still yet to get regulatory approval. Donald Trump will presumably have a lot of influence on these business matters, particularly if he's friendly towards the company. That's probably looked on favorably by the regulator, who, of course, Donald Trump appointed.
It's hard to say because, you know, he is somebody who holds grudges as well, so I don't know what his feelings are on both. But he seemed to be kind of conciliatory towards Netflix the other day and seemed to appreciate Ted Sarandos. So I really don't know whose side he's going to come on.
Ted has done an incredible job. I mean, he had a company that was very troubled 7 or 8 years ago, and he took it over, and he's really done a legendary job. He was in the Oval Office last week. I have a lot of respect for him. He's a great person.
I think, though, if Paramount and somebody like Ellison has the potential of running CNN, though, I feel like that's something that Trump will be very interested in.
Should they be allowed to buy Warner Brothers? Should Netflix?
Well, that's a question. They have a very big market share. And when they have Warner Brothers, you know, that share goes up a lot. So I don't know. That's going to be for some economists to tell. And also, and I'll be involved in that decision, too.
Okay, Chris. This isn't the only Hollywood merger we've seen in recent years. What kind of impact is the dwindling number of studios having on the industry? What is it to put all the control of our entertainment in just a few hands?
Well, you know, it means less choice, less diversity. A lot of content is just going to feel recycled. You know, I think one needs to only look at how many superhero movies we got over the last 5 years. I think that too much of the same product just bores people and you don't get anything innovative anymore. And it also really hurts for the industry because the streamers just don't spend the kind of money on product that the studios did. The studios were about making art. The streamers, it seems a lot of times, are just about making product. I mean, don't get me wrong. Netflix does make good content. You know, they do. I've seen some good Netflix movies this year and they made some great shows too, like Baby Reindeer and, you know, Adolescence. But they also make, you know, a lot of really kind of disposable junk that goes nowhere, that's only there to feed the algorithm.
Right. But Chris, are there any positives that could come out of this? I mean, particularly for consumers, many streamers might find it very convenient to have as many titles as possible in one spot. It's kind of annoying having so many streaming services and having to pay all these subscription fees. What do you think about that perspective?
I think in some ways, competition is the way that you get the best content. That said, if there's only two streaming services that everybody subscribes to, it will be a lot cheaper. Although you can imagine also that Netflix will start charging a heck of a lot more for their subscription if they have access to the entire HBO and Warner Brothers library. This whole consolidation issue, it's not going to end anytime soon. Within 10 years or so, I think maybe there'll be two or three streaming services that'll just complete everything. Assuming, of course, that the DOJ and antitrust issues don't upset the apple cart somewhat for them.
Chris Bumbray is the editor-in-chief at the movie news site joblow.com. Audio production for this episode is by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sydney Peed. That's it from me this year. Andy Park will be with you next week for new episodes of ABC News Daily. Thanks so much for joining me. Enjoy the rest of your summer. I'll see you next year.